Hello, and welcome to Kingwood United Methodist Church. Thank you for joining us today. Wherever you're listening from, and whatever service you're listening to, we strongly believe, because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there is always more to life.
Good morning, church. As we meet in this space, and wherever you may be joining us from, it really is a privilege to continue to reach out and be church in all the new ways that we are. We're glad you're joining us during this season of Lent. It's a season of preparing for the hope that we gain through the sacrifice of the cross and the empty tomb. Now, a lot of times when we go into Lent, we encourage people to set something aside that may be in distracting them or getting in their way of relationship with God. But I don't think we've ever had a Lenten season like this where so many things that we're so routined into are being set aside, even if we don't want them to. But also not just setting things aside, but taking up something new. And I've just felt the burden on my heart to just really encourage people, don't just be upset about the things that you're not able to do right now, that we're not able to do. But pour that same energy and creativity into new things that you might find to do, to ways to reach out maybe to your neighbors so you don't do, to get to do some things with your family that you haven't been doing, and find out how those things can be added to your faith walk as well. As John Wayne mentioned, we're going to have an appointment, important announcement at the end of the sermon and our worship time, so stick around for that. Regardless of all those things that are going on during this Lenten season, it's going to be a season we never forget. And it's a time when we're really leaning into this sermon series that we're called Becoming. And that phrase, becoming, who we're becoming, who we're created to become, is as important right now as it ever has been. Now, previously, we've talked through some of the I am statements of Jesus in the gospel according to John. And we've talked about how Jesus is the bread of life and how Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. And last week, John Wayne helped us to really explore Jesus as the gate that offers protection, but also opens to send us out into pasture, the gate that brings us together as people that are dedicated to Christ, that the gate that helps us keep out those that will harm us, and tightly intermingled with that gate imagery in John chapter 10 is also a proclamation, a revelation, a deep guiding truth that Jesus is the good shepherd. John 10:11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. He doesn't say, I'm like a good shepherd. He says, I am the good shepherd. So as we explore that a little bit this morning, I invite you to join me in prayer. God, we're thankful to be in this place together, wherever this place is. And we're reminded that place isn't necessarily an address. That place is, and church is something that is not defined by something so enclosable as walls. But that you are leading us and guiding us in new ways, in bold ways, wherever we are. So God, we celebrate your presence in all the many places that we find ourselves this morning and throughout the week as we tune into this time together. And God, we just celebrate that we don't have to walk through this alone. We celebrate that you are leading us and guiding us in beautiful ways. Thank you, God, for all that you offer us. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, the Bible is full of references to shepherding. Of course it is. Herding sheep would have been a very familiar thing for the people in the Bible. And they would have known even some of the qualities of what it means to be a good shepherd. Qualities like shepherds should keep watch over their sheep. Shepherds should guard their sheep. Shepherds should guide their sheep. And shepherds should provide for their sheep. We hear really quickly in some of our most favorite things when the shepherd are keeping their watch over their flocks by night. You've got to be on the watch out for your flock if you're a good shepherd. Paul shares these words later in the story, actually in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, as he's talking to the elders in the church in Ephesus before he leaves him. These are some of his final words to them. He says, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Be shepherds. Be watchful." That's a good shepherd. To be a good shepherd is also to guard, to protect the sheep. Sheep don't typically get places, and sheep are typically defenseless. Sheep are typically helpless. When they're faced with any kind of pressure, they just scramble, or they try to bump into one another and go in all different directions. If a threat arises, the shepherd needs to stand up against it to guard the sheep. Right now, we're living in a world where there are so many pressures, there are so many things trying to speak to us, trying to draw us away, trying to pull us out. We feel threatened and uncomfortable, and things are out of control. The good shepherd guards the sheep. To be a good shepherd, you also guide the sheep. Sheep typically don't get from one place to the next by themselves. Sheep don't show much sense of direction, and they're fairly docile. Shepherds of this time led their sheep, but they didn't drive their sheep. Now, this is kind of an important distinction that God really laid on my heart. Now, I grew up in Junction, Texas, so that's cattle country. And in all truthfulness, most cattle people don't even really like sheep. But the animals that I worked with at that time, when you're herding cattle, you're on horseback or you're walking and you're making loud noises and you're standing behind them or to the sides and you're moving them along. In Jesus' time, in Old Testament time, you don't get behind the sheep and shout at them to move them. The shepherd goes out in front and leads the sheep. Shepherds go first. Years and years ago, God put on my heart how much, just a despising of the statement, "Do as I say and not as I do." I hate that statement. It's always about "do as I do." And for the shepherd to lead, the shepherd has to do so in a way that the sheep will watch and the sheep will follow. It's not a "do as I say and not as I do." It's always a "do as I do." And to be a good shepherd, you have to be a provider. Sheep need to be fed. Sheep need a doctor when they're injured. Sheep need someone to come and find them when they get lost. Sheep need a provider. And it's these qualities and qualities like these that led God to refer to himself in Psalm 95, 6 and 7, to say he is the good shepherd, that he is, not in that exact way, but in 95, 6, and 7, it says, "Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care." The rod and the staff were the signs of kings of the time and even offices nowadays. King David was called an under-shepherd and employed in that way by God in Psalm 78, verses 70 and 72. Employed to keep watch, to guard, to guide, to provide. It's hard to talk about shepherding without going to Psalm 23. That famous psalm that many of us know and maybe memorized by heart along the way. But I want to share it with you again. "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Thanks again for joining us for today's message. We will return to the sermon in a moment, but first, we would like to ask for you to rate, share, and subscribe to our podcast. We believe God is doing some amazing things here at KUMC, and your feedback helps our church to reach new listeners that we wouldn't otherwise be able to reach. Now, let's get back to the Word.
One of the reasons this shows up at so many funerals are its promises of hope and its assurance that God makes to us on a personal level. It's not just the, I am your God and you are my people kind of feel. No, it's the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Not just the Lord who loves all the sheep, but the Lord that loves me and you personally. The Lord that keeps watch over me and guards me and guides me and provides for me and for you. What a beautifully comforting word for us in this season. To have a personal, loving God that will never leave you alone. I learned something years ago from a video series by a teacher named Ray Vanderlaan who was doing something about Psalm 23 in the Holy Land. And he showed the hillside where the sheep were going across the hillside. And he zoomed down and showed these little clumps of grass all along the way. Because I don't know about you, but in my mind, when I read that line, he makes me lie down in green pastures, I'm thinking like waist-high alfalfa. And that he leads me into that place of green pastures. But from what I know is the sheep are really led not into a huge field where they can just be let go and take care of themselves. Know that the shepherd takes them from one clump of grass to the next clump of grass, to the next clump of grass, to the next clump of grass. Daily bread, daily provision. And so because of that, there's never a day where God just says, you got it all made, just go enjoy the alfalfa. We still are led every day of our life by a loving God who's providing for us. And a God that says to us, again, you never walk alone. The worst of times, the best of times, the darkest of valleys, the driest of land, the moments when you don't think anybody else can see you or hear you or get within 6 feet of you, God is right there, as close as the next breath, the next beat of your heart. So we don't need to worry or stress or fear about anything. God is with us. Thanks be to God. Now it's confession time. Because when I read the scriptures about that I am the sheep of God's pasture, I got to tell you, I don't really like being called a sheep over and over. I mean, I don't know if you've ever dealt with sheep outside of like maybe the petting zoo, but sheep are just dumb. I mean, I told you, I grew up in cattle country, right? We didn't have a lot of sheep. There were more goats than sheep. But one day, a friend of mine named Ralph, he decided he was going to buy some sheep, primarily to mow his lawn. He put them on his property and said, surely these sheep are going to take care of my lawn. Now, the day came when he needed to have them in a pen, so I raised my hand and said, sure, I'll help you build a pen. So we built a pen, and then all we needed to do was get these sheep in that pen. We could not move them. We couldn't get them to go anywhere. We waved our arms, we hollered at them, come on, sheep, go. We stood out in front of them. I put a leash on one of them, you know, a lead, and tried to drag one. They looked like a burro belt, and I couldn't move it anywhere. Finally, the only way that we could get it was literally, I picked up the lead sheep, as heavy as she was. I carried her into the pen. I dropped her unceremoniously, and thankfully, all the other sheep went into the pen. Now, studies may say that sheep are intelligent and complex and social. I actually read one of those this week. But for the most part, whenever I've interacted with sheep, they seem to be dumb, directionless, and defenseless. And we are the sheep of God's pasture. Thank you so much. I've even heard the term sheeple to describe us whenever we're just going crazy. And I think that's bad. It's just bad. The best part, though, of acknowledging that we are the sheep of God's pasture is to go before God with humility and to say, I need to be led. I need to be cared for. I can't do it by myself. And I didn't really get it while I was trying to deal with Ralph's sheep. But what I've come to appreciate is the fact that the sheep wouldn't listen to me because they didn't know me. I was more used to driving cattle and getting behind them. These sheep didn't want to be driven. They wanted to be led by someone they trusted that knew their names. In John, back in chapter 10, into this rich tapestry of shepherding, Jesus steps and he shares these words with us. John 10, verses 1 through 5. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. And when he's brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. While Jesus is going to live into this model of cultural understanding of a shepherd, he's going to take it to a whole new level. He's going to answer the question, why do you guard sheep? Why do you keep watch? Why do you guide them and provide them? Answer is, because you love them. You love them deeply. You love them so much you give them a name. You lead your flock in unconditional love, and they follow you. He calls them by name. He doesn't have to name them. He doesn't have to know the sheep that well. But his love takes on such an individual, personal level that he gets to know the sheep. And because they've gotten to know him, they know his voice. Do you know that Jesus knows your name? Do you recognize his voice? Do we follow? Driving in this morning, I heard a new song on the radio, or it may not be a new song, but I just haven't heard it much. It's a song by a group called Carrollton. It's called You Are Faithful. And the line that caught my attention because it fit right here says, even though I cannot see where you're leading me, I'm yours and you're faithful. In this time, right now, in the middle of so many things being different, are you still following his voice? Or are you hunkered down and waiting for all of this to pass by? Someone at KMC raised his hand the other day and said, what are we going to do about people who are affected by this time economically? I said, we need to start talking about that. Those conversations are beginning. How can we as a church reach out into the community and help in ways that we've maybe never helped before? My wife and I, of all things, started taking classes again with Arrow to get relicensed and certified, to open our home to whatever God's trying to lead us to do. We both have such a heart for foster kids who are aging out of foster care without ever being adopted. And we're trying to listen to God to say, God, what do we do? Do we mentor children? Do we bring these youth into our home? How? But all we're trying to do right now is that we're just trying to prepare. We don't know exactly where he's leading us, but right now we're just trying to take the step that we do know will position us to be able to follow him well. Are you still following him? Even now? The scripture goes on in chapter 10, starting at verse 11. Jesus says again, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand's not the shepherd and doesn't own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand. And he cares nothing for the sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd. And he answers the ultimate question. Why do you do those things for your sheep? Because you love them. How do you ultimately watch over, guard, guide, provide? You lay down your life for them. That's how Jesus, for all eternity, is watching over us and providing us with what we cannot gain for ourselves. Eternal relationship with the Good Shepherd who knows us by name. He goes on, verse 14. I'm the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, this is a twist. Do you hear the depth of relationship? That's the vine and branches talk. That's the I am in him, he is in me, and we're remaining in one another. This is redefining the relationship between shepherd and sheep to not just a caretaker overseeing, but one who is in deep relationship. And Jesus goes on to say, there are other sheep out there, and I'm trying to draw them all into one flock, all under me. And the way that I'll do that is by laying down my life. Don't miss this. During this season of intentional distancing, Jesus died for you and for me. It's individual. It's personal. Yes, he died for the whole world, but it's a faith changer to know that he died for you and for me. He laid down his life to guard and protect and guide and provide and watch over us for all time. Christ led and he still leads. And we're still called to follow him. So in this series of becoming, are we supposed to become better sheep? Or are we supposed to become under shepherds? I think the answer is yes. I think we're always supposed to be learning to follow his voice more and more and depend on him every clump of grass along the way and to know that he is with us no matter what we face. But I think that this is also a time where he asks us to rise up and to care for one another, to care for the flock together, to help to lead and equip and train up children and sharpen one another in word and prayer and action. That we would reach out to the vulnerable around us, that we would be in contact with one another during this time. We are called to be sheep and follow, but we are also called to help him to shepherd the flock one with another. And not to do it because we're supposed to, but because we want to. Not because we think there's some gain in it, but because we want to humble ourselves and serve. Not so that we want to lord over other people, but to do as we do, be an example.